This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
President Trump and the European Union are now girding for a big fight over cars. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. What had seemed like a ceasefire in the trade battle between the U.S. and the European Union appears to be over. Yesterday, a senior EU trade official had offered to drop European car tariffs to zero if the U.S. did the same. But during an interview with Bloomberg News, President Trump said, no, not good enough.
But it's not good enough because they will always sell more cars. Their cars, their habits, their consumer habits are to buying their cars, not to buying our cars.
President also said, quote, the EU is almost as bad as China, just smaller. European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker said today the EU will respond in kind if the U.S. imposes higher car tariffs. But back to that Trump observation that it's about European habits to not buy U.S.-made cars and trucks. So tradition, culture, not economics. I spoke to the BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker today.
It's partly about economics, of course, because one of the reasons that Europeans buy European cars is because they're made here, and that means the transport costs of getting them to the European market are a factor that helps keep their prices down. They're also built to European regulatory standards. That's a more complicated issue if American manufacturers also have to deal with the US market. Consumers everywhere tend to have a degree of what's called home preference, and it's not normally been considered a matter for trade policy to try and do anything about that.
I know we can help all those medieval European towns widen their streets so they can accommodate our larger pickup trucks. That's one idea. But the response in the past from the U.S. car industry has been to build European spec cars in Europe. That's what GM used to do when it owned Opel.
Indeed, and to some degree Ford does, and of course the Japanese manufacturers do that as well. There's also issues about fuel consumption. European consumers have a particular preference for low fuel consumption vehicles, and one of the reasons for that is, of course, that we have much higher taxes on gasoline on this side of the Atlantic. And I suppose one thing President Trump might be tempted to ask for is for European governments to do something about that.
The BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
The EU imposes a 10% tariff on passenger car imports. The U.S. has a 2.5% tariff, but the administration wants to raise it to 25%. Let's check markets. The 100 share index in London is down 0.5%. Dow and S&P futures are down 0.2%. Wells Fargo's black eyes having trouble healing. The news this time is that the bank has just fired or suspended more than a dozen employees for allegedly forging meal receipts on expense reports. This comes as Wells Fargo tries to rebrand itself after 2 years of scandals. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
2 years ago, regulators revealed Wells Fargo employees had fraudulently created millions of accounts without their customers knowing it. More scandals followed. Eric Bernstein with Bernstein Crisis Management says for any other company, this latest incident would have been a boring internal issue, but not for Wells Fargo.
People believe that they have a problem with company culture, and whether they do or not is almost moot because if the public and other important audiences believe you have a problem, then you do.
His advice, do whatever it takes to show the company's culture is changing.
We're committed to cleaning up, and we're going to do it even if it results in some ugly situations for ourselves.
June West teaches management communication at the University of Virginia. She says, of course, Wells Fargo's under a microscope, but so is everybody else.
I think in today's social media world, no institution or organization can put their head in the sand and hope something's going to go away.
And it comes with real costs. Wells Fargo was fined $1 billion in April by regulators and is still under investigation by the Justice Department and Securities and Exchange Commission. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The Minnesota State Fair centers on good things to eat on a stick. It's also an agricultural fair, meaning that these days it's a trade story on a stick with all those farmers set up there. Minnesota Public Radio's Elizabeth Dunbar reports from the fair.
Times are hard for many of the farmers gathered here at the Minnesota State Fair. The USDA says net farm income has fallen 50% since 2012, in part because of declining crop prices. Now, many farmers have to deal with retaliatory tariffs from U.S. trading partners on products like soybeans and pork.
Being kicked when it's down a little bit is kind of how it feels.
Glenn Groth grows crops and raises dairy cows. I found him checking out youth farm exhibits at the fair. Groth says he'll accept bailout money from the Trump administration's $12 billion farm aid package announced this week. But he'd rather have a healthy market for his soybeans. He usually sells to China, but he's worried that market will disappear altogether if the trade war drags on.
Then other regions of the world, I feel, will start to pick up America's slack. You know, there's a lot of undeveloped land around the world that could be brought into soybean production.
Over at the Minnesota Farm Bureau booth, Dean Christofferson is chatting with fairgoers about what it's like to farm these days. He grows soybeans, corn, and raises dairy cows.
We need trade. We're growing much more crop in the United States than we can use ourselves.
It's not just crops that are affected. Pork producers are hurting, too, after Mexico and China imposed tariffs. Hog farmer Wanda Patchy is volunteering at the fair swine booth, where a visitor can see different breeds, like a Chester White hog, and pick up a free pig ear headband. She says of the trade war,
we can go a little while, but if it's extended, we're going to see farmers going out of business.
President Trump handily won Minnesota's farm country in 2016, and he still has a lot of support there. Farmer Lauren Wallen is hanging out by the fair's milking parlor in a bright red Make America Great Again t-shirt. He says Trump is already helping farmers by rolling back regulations that affect them. And he's cheering the Trump administration's trade moves.
I hope that they stand their ground. That probably isn't what you'd expect to hear out of a farmer.
Wallen says when this trade war is over, farmers will be better for it. In St. Paul, I'm Elizabeth Dunbar for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Redmond Carlipio. Our engineer is Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.